This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Sheh, Parshas Bahalosucho. So, three ideas I want to share with you this evening. The first, I think I have mentioned before, I'm pretty sure I have, but I'd like to just go to the source of where it comes from. There's a famous vart of Dayan Abramsky, and I was excited because I mentioned to someone some weeks ago, and he told me that Dayan Abramsky, of course, here in London, is very beloved to us. He was the Av based in here in London in the middle of the 1900s. But he is famous for his pirush on the Tosefta, the Chazon Yecheskel. And I didn't know there were other svarim. It's also called the Chazon Yecheskel. I don't think it's written by him, but written by his Talmidim. And this famous vart that he said, and I've once said in previous years, he told me that it's in the Sefer. So I looked it up, and I've got it here. So we'll start with that. So Parshas Bahalosucho deals with lots of different interesting ideas. The induction of the Levim for their role in the Mishkan. And then you have Pesach Sheni. We've spoken about all these things in the past. And then you have the travel plans of Klal Yisrael, how they move in the Midbar. And we're told about the Chatzotzros. And the Chatzotzros are basically the PR system. And they're different blows and different sequences to convey different messages to different people. So, for example, you have Tekiah only, and you have that will be the Mikra, that will be the calling for the whole Eidah. There'll be a Mikra for the Nesiim, depends if it's twice or one time. Twice is for the whole Eidah, once is just for the Nesiim. And then you have a Trua and a Tekiah, that will be, and if it's done twice, that will be a message to move, to go, to start going. So, the Chatzotros, the trumpets, the PR system, if you like, of the Jewish people in the Midbar. Now, interesting thing to think about, when they made the Kelim in the Mishkan, did they make them for all time, or did they make them, you know, as for each generation? So you would assume, and I would assume, they made them for as long as they were functional, and then afterwards you have to replace them, but they were there for as long as possible. And indeed, that is a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos, Kaf Ches Amud Aleph, says, if you look at the second box on the sheet, if you're listening online, please email me at j.goldberg@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Tana Rabbanan, Kol HaKelim She'osu Moshe, all the Kelim the Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Mishkan, Kasherim Lo, or Kasherim L'Doiris. They're kosher for him, and they're kosher L'Doiris. For all generations. So the Shulchan, the Menorah, all the other Kelim, the Kiyor, they were made not just for that generation, but for all generations. Chatzotzros, the trumpets, kasherus lai, or psulas lederus. They were good for him and his generation, but they were posel, they were invalid for future generations, which means when the leader of the generation died, they had to make new chatzotzros. Now the question, of course, is why? Why the chatzotzros? Why not the other things? So the Dayan Abramsky says the most fabulous, fabulous idea. Let's take a look inside. This is written, it says, Harav Yecheskel Abramsky al Tanakh, it's a pirush on Tanakh, Harbe Klisharis Osa Moshe. And this is from his Kisvei Yad, from his own writings. Harbe Klisharis Osa Moshe, Moshe Benu made many Klisharis, many Kalim for the Mishkan, Vehem Kasherim Lavid Bohem Avodas HaKodesh, Ledore Doros, and they were made for all generations, Bechol Hatzkufos, for in all the stages. Aval ha-chatzotzros shehein le-mikra, but the chatzotzros which are made le-mikra ha-eida, or le-masa ha-machanos kedima, to call and to communicate to the people, and to make sure they move on, hein einon nikvois le-doris. They're not made for generations. They're le-kol dar, dorish chatzotzrosov b'chtei lasiu b'derech ha-eil le-beiskel. In other words, the message of Torah is eternal, but the means of communicating that message has to change in every generation, which is an astonishing and a beautiful idea. And I think back to your school days. So I would imagine in my parents' generation, the teacher would have a blackboard with chalk, and that's how they would write. Next generation, you have whiteboards with black markers. And perhaps the current generation, they have interactive whiteboards. Now, it's the same Bob Metzia, it's the same Chumash Bamidbar, it's the same Halacha that we're teaching, but the method of communicating, it has to change with every generation. That's a very, very powerful idea. And that, if you look at the next little paragraph, this, he says, B'michtav haskoma le-sefer drush, in an approbation that Dayan Abramsky once wrote to a sefer of drush, Hosef, he added the following, Hadrush hu bebechinas chatzutzros. The drush, which is the rabbi getting up and giving the drush in shul, his expositions, his exegesis, I think it's called. Hu bebechinas chatzutzros. That's a bechina. It's a similar to the chatzutzros shetud also lemikra ha'eda. Its purpose is to, you know, to call the people to assembly, or the masa hamachalos, and to make people travel. For kol echod yeshlo chatzosros miuchodos eich lafiach ruachayim bekal shemov. Everyone's got to speak in a way that's going to engage his audience. So he's saying the chatzosros are not just each generation they've got to change, but you've got to change your style for every audience. And this resonated with me because Friday mornings I speak in the base, and then I go speak in the girls' school and assembly. And I can say sometimes I say different, sometimes I say the same. But even if I say the same, it's the same idea, the same Dvar Torah, I've got to say it differently. And instinctively, you'll just do that because you look at the audience and you've got to say it in a way that talks to them. So that's exactly what he's saying here. Kol echod yesh lo chatzosros miuchados. Everyone's got their own trumpets, as it were. Eich lafiach ruachayim bekal shemov, to blow a breath of life into those who are listening. So it's a very beautiful idea. That explains, like Dan Abramsky, why is it that the Chatzotzros were the exception? All other kelim for all Doros, but the Chatzotzros were made just for his generation, because the method of communicating has to change with every generation. The message is the same, but the method of communicating that method has to change.
Were the trumpets themselves different, or just another lot of the same?
I would imagine exactly the same, but the message, the idea is that there is a method of communicating it. And the idea is, a symbolic idea, that the method, how you communicate something, has to change. But you're right, it's the same tekiah, true, and they look exactly the same. But the message, why you've got to bury them and refashion them for the new, even though they're refashioning the same thing. But the concept is, what worked last generation won't work in the same generation. It's exactly the same thing, but it's the symbolic message of how you speak to the people has got to change with every generation. Okay, let's move on. The next part of the parasha deals with the mom. Now, I'm very excited because I came across something, a Malbim, which I saw in Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein's Sefer, which answered questions which I think have been lingering in my mind for many years. Let's start with this. You tell me. Tell me what you know about the mom. Tell me some of the famous features of the mon that you learnt in primary school that are well known.
Coriander
seed. Whatever coriander seed is, yeah.
Taste
whatever you want. Good. What else?
Didn't have to do anything.
Right. So if you were tzaddik, you'd open your door and it came, you know, Deliveroo all the way. And if it was far away and it was then you have to go travel a long distance. Good. The preparation was also different. Layers, that's why we have Lecha Mishnah. So we have, they came in layers with the Jew at the bottom, Jew at the top, and that's why we have Lecha Mishnah. That's why, by the way, there are different reasons why you have Lecha Mishnah. But if one of the reasons is the mon, like you just said, so then if that's the case, then you should have a cover underneath it. Can you put the challahs directly on the table if you haven't got your challah board? So if the reason is there's tal at the bottom and tal at the top, then you should have a challah board at the bottom as well, and then the challahs, and then the challah cover.
Okay. Challah covers for the Kiddush, not to be embarrassed.
That's another reason. So there's different reasons why we cover the challah. But if it's because of the mon, I'm saying then you need the challah board underneath.
If it's just Kiddush on a Shabbos morning, you still have to cover the challah.
Right, so another nafkamina will be Shabbos morning. There are about 10 nafkaminas. Yeah. But we do all of them. We are choshish for all the reasons. So those are some of the reasons that we're familiar with. What's the most famous one, perhaps? I don't know if we said it. But you close your eyes, and whatever you taste, it can be perfect. Okay. So those are some of the background intro, if you like, to what we're familiar with mon. Now, let's go through the Pesukim, and we'll see some of the questions that arise. This is in Perek Yud Aleph in Bamidbar, Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi ha'om kamis'oninim ra ba'ozne Hashem. So the people were complaining in the ears of Hashem. Vayishma Hashem, and Hashem heard them. Vayicha apoy, and he gets very angry. Vativa bom eish, and there's a fire. Vatoicha b'kseh ha'machaneh, and he destroys a part of the people. Says Rashi, it's in the next box, K'misoinim, Ein misoinim el loshen alila. The misoinim means an expression of a pretext. It was an excuse. They wanted to moan and complain. Mevakshim alila, heich lifrit me'achri ha'mokim. How can they sort of separate themselves from Hashem? Ra bozne Hashem, what does that mean, says Rashi? To'eino, it's a pretext, a complaint, shehi ra'a ba'ozne Hashem, which is bad, wicked in the ears of Hashem, shemischavnin shatova ba'ozne, because they're trying to say it to annoy him, to make him angry, v'yaknitz, and he'll get angry. Amru, oi lanu kamalo vatnu b'derech hazeh shlei sheyomim. We've just, we're now moving on, the first time, it's a year on. We've been at Har Sinai, where they were for nearly a year, 10 days short of a year, and now we're rushing in. 3 days, we're going at such pace. Rashi, at the end of the last perek, told us the reason why they were going at pace is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them into Eretz Yisrael quickly. And so therefore, 3 days and we'll be there. And they complain, Shlo nachnu me'unne haderech, we haven't rested because of the pace of the journey. Vayicha apoy, says Rashi, Ani ayisi mechaven letov aschem, shetikon su l'eretz miyad. I was doing it for your benefit to take you in quickly. Okay, carrying on the posuk. Pasuk base, Vayitzak ha'am el Moshe vayispal el Moshe l'Hashem vatishko ha'ish. And they cried out to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to try and intercede on our behalf, the Eish is destroying us. Moshe Rabbeinu davens vatishka ha'ish, the Eish sort of sinks into the ground, he's put an end to the fire. Vayikra Shem ha'mok mahut tav'eira kivara bom Eish Hashem. And that place is called Tav'eira because the Eish of Hashem burnt there. End of the first story. Pasuk Dalet, next episode. For Asafsuf, the Asafsuf is often translated as the rabble. Asher Bekirboi, his Avu Taiva, they had this very strong desire. Vayoshuvu Vayivku Gam Bnei Yisrael, Vayomru, they sort of encouraged the rest of the Jewish people. Vayomru Mi Achilenu Basa, who's going to feed us meat? Zocharnu, we remember Es Hadoga, we remember the fish, Asher Neichel B'Mitzrayim Chinom, that we had in Mitzrayim for free. Esakishuim, the cucumbers, avatichim, the melons, esachotzim, esapasolim, the garlic, and the onions, esashumim, sorry, that's the garlic, the leeks, I think they translated as. So we remember all these vegetables with fondness when we're in Mitzrayim. Posuk Vav, va'at nafshenu yevesha ki ein kol bilti el amonin. All we've got here is this mon. Now, says Rashi, really? You remember with fondness the fish and all those lovely vegetables that you had in Mitzrayim. Im Toma says Rashi in Pasuk Hate in the penultimate box on the page. Im Toma Shemitzrayim noistim nohem dogim chinam. You really think they gave him fish for nothing? V'halu kvar ne'emar v'teva no yinosein lochem. They didn't give him straw. Im teva lo yinosein lochem chinam dogim o yinosein lochem chinam. They didn't give them teva and straw to make the bricks. You think they're going to give them dogim? You know what it means? They wanted it free of. They didn't want the burden of mitzvahs. They wanted it to be free without any restriction. That's what they mean. Now, and then the pasuk goes on. Pasuk Zayin v'amon kazer gadu ve'enuk ena b'doylach. The mon was like you said, coriander seed. The color was like a bedoylach, which Rashi says was some sort of crystal-like gem. Shot to ha'om v'loktu, the people would stroll out, they would gather it, tochnu b'reichayim, they would grind it in a mill, oidonu b'medoycha, pound it in a mortar, bishlu, or cook it, v'osu es ugois, they would make these cakes, v'etam ha'ketam leshet ha'shemen, it would be like leshet ha'shemen, like a dough kneaded with oil. Okay, adkan. Now, I got a few questions. Question number one. They remember with fondness the melons and the garlic and the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions. Just close your eyes, be creative. When you eat them on, just dream of these things. So why, what's the problem? Just dream of these things. So why, we remember all these delicious foods. You've got them on, this is the magic food. You can drink and eat whatever you want. Now, question number one. Second, another question, what do they want meat for? Again, same question. They could also close their eyes and they could think, steak, however rare or well done they wanted. Next question, Vayotamu katam l'shet ha'shemen, and it tasted like a dough kneaded like with oil. Well, how does that work? I thought you thought of whatever food you wanted and it was like that. So what does it mean it tasted? How could it be assigned a specific taste? The Chofetz Chaim says if you didn't think of anything, it'll be taste of nothing. That's why, But so why is it assigned a specific taste? Now, there's a Malbim, an amazing Malbim. Take a look at the middle of the next box. Mavua lefizeh, The mon was different for the tzaddikim and for the rishayim in three ways. Aleph, sheharishayim mitzad heyosei mazon gashmi, because for the rishayim it was a physical type of food. Hutzruchu lelakto v'les v'mipon mabidbo. They had to go and gather it and collect it. Avlatzikim yored lohem ad poteim ebli histarchu l'truach acharov. But the tzaddikim didn't need to travel at all for it. So one difference is that the Rishon would have to go far to get it, but the tzaddikim, it would come to them. That's number one. Base, Shah Rishon hutzruchu l'tochna l'dochad m'ducha. The Rishon would actually have to work it. They would have to grind it, they would have to pound it, v'lasakno, and prepare the food. Kakol mozen gashmi, like any other physical food, hatzorech tikkun, which needs preparation. But for the tzaddikim who were not materialistic, they didn't need any preparation. In the same way as Adam HaRishon before the chait didn't need to prepare the food, when the midrashim say that the malachim were sort of frying the meat for them and pouring the wine, it means that it was like mon quality, that he could just, whatever he wanted it to taste like, it would taste like. And then he carries on, like it's going to be in the future, like Chazal say, I see the ha'aretz shetetzi plus kais. In the future, for tzaddikim, the trees will actually just create the rolls ready made, good to go. So the second difference is preparation. So the first difference is location. The second difference is preparation. The third difference is this. Now the first two largely are based on the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hey, which is quoted above. The third difference, as the Malbim, is that the Gemara says in Yuma, and also it's a Medrash in Beshalach, the Pasuk v'chisar t'dova, k'shoy mis'ave dova mahmiyad hoy moitzi b'mon, whatever they wanted it to taste like, it would taste like. V'ze bevadai hoy mitzat skuloso haruchnis, sha'aruchni yichlal kol hamatamim v'yisnaik b'derech ha'pele v'yizel tzadikim levad, av l'rishoyim sheho es l'mozen gashmi, for this, that was only true for the tzadikim. But for the rishoyim, who were more physical, Lo yatzir lohem bois segula zois shetep hapech lechol asher yisav ha'ichel. That quality that it would taste like whatever they wanted it to taste like was not true for the rishayim. Lo hoy margishim by rak tamam yuchud k'may shehu. They would just taste the specific default taste of this food, i.e., the tamay leshad hashomen. It would be like a dough tasted with oil. Now, in light of this malbim, that there are three differences between Rishayim and Tzaddikim when it comes to the mon. A, the location where it was. B, the preparation needed. And C, the ability to taste like whatever you want it to taste like. Now we can answer lots of questions. Number one, we can understand why it was the Asafsuf, the rabble, Rashi says it was the Erev Rav, who were the ones who complained. Because they were the Rishoyim who had this, didn't have all the qualities of the mon that you and I mentioned in the beginning. Number one, it was a pain. They complained because it was far away for them. Number two, they had to prepare it like any other food. And number three, it just had this assigned specific taste. So no wonder they complained. Number two, we can now understand why they reminisced about the food in Egypt. Because we remember the fish and the melons and the leeks and everything else. Because this is just dough kneaded with oil. It didn't have that quality of whatever you want it to taste like, it will taste like. And third of all, we can now understand the pasuk ches. Shatu ha'om, the people would stroll, v'loktu, and they would gather it, v'tochnu b'reichayim, and they would grind it in a mill, o'idochu b'medoicha, or they would pound it in a mortar, or bishlu, they would cook it b'paru in a pot, v'osu v'su'ugus, they would make cakes, v'hitam v'katam leshta shemen, and it would taste like dough kneaded with oil. We understand shatu ha'om v'loktu, they would have to go out and get it. Then they would have to need preparation, and it had a uniform taste. So in that pasuk, the three problems that the Erev Rav, the Asafsuf, had are highlighted in this pasuk. Number one, they've got to go travel for it. Number two, they've got to prepare it. And number three, they had a uniform taste. I understand why they complained. Now, the Rabbi Manuel Bernstein quotes his father, who says the following. In Parshas Ekev, in Dvarim Perikhes, the Pasuk says, Vayancho vayarivecho vayachilcho es hamon. I made you hungry, I afflicted you, and I made you hungry, and I fed you the mon. Why the affliction? Why the hunger? Sarah Bernstein said, very geschmack, Because if you had to go for a 2-mile hike every time you wanted breakfast, you would think twice about it. So therefore, there were some people, and especially if your tzaddik neighbor opens the front door and his deliverer is on his front doormat, it's very embarrassing for you. So what are you going to say? So Bernstein sort of, I think, sort of said in jest, he would look at his neighbor and he said, "Though, listen, I daven nets, I ate already." And therefore, vayancho, you've been afflicted, vayarvecho, you're going to go hungry, because vayachilches amon, because of this mon, very meduk in the pasuk. So what I think emerges from this malbim is, for me at least, much more clarity as to who could access the mon. There were three qualities that the tzaddikim had, that it was nearby, that it didn't need preparation, and it could taste like whatever they wanted to. But for the Rishonim, that wasn't the case. And that's why it was they who, it was the Asafsuf, who didn't have these benefits of the mon, it was them who complained, and that's why they could reminisce about the foods, etc., etc. So I think a very interesting malbim, which answers a lot of questions. Just one ha'ara, one final ha'ara. A question which I once heard, that the mon actually appears in Parshas Beshalach first. That's way back when they came out of Mitzrayim, which makes sense when it appears there, because that's when they first had it. But yet, it's described much more fully in this week's parasha. So why over here? So the answer I heard is this. You only appreciate things in life when they're taken away from you. In Parshas Beshalach, when you first get it, like many of us, sadly, we just take things for granted. And therefore, it doesn't even bother describing the beauty of the mon. Here, when some people are no longer going to have it, then the pasuk can say, "Do you know what I gave you?" And we start describing the quality, the beauty of the mon, because you only appreciate something when it's taken away. The reason why paragraph 3 is the PG Parsha tips, that's because we spoke about earlier, our tea granules of PG tips are no longer available. And what we all took for granted for many years, the ease to make tea on Shabbos with tea granules, we didn't really appreciate it, but now we haven't got it. Chadesh Omeinu Kekedem. Okay, wish you all a good Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.